Hey there, Legal Tea listeners. This is your host, Jenny Roselle. We are back to the celebrity estate planning topic, and for today's episode, we are going to dive into what happened following the death of our Margaritaville friend, Jimmy Buffett. So this episode is for you, my parrot heads. If I was fancy enough to know how to upload music to my podcast recording platform, I would totally change the background music to a, you know, Margaritaville or Jimmy Buffett song at least. But as I've talked about on here before, I am the furthest thing from fancy when it comes to my podcast, and it is not a New Year's resolution to become a fancy podcaster, so we'll just have to deal with my normal music, even though a Buffett song would be far more fun. Anyway, on these episodes, I like to talk a little bit about the person first, then dive into what happened following the person's death. So on that, let's chat a little bit about Jimmy Buffett first. According to his Wikipedia page, Jimmy was born in Mississippi on December 25th, 1946. So he's a Christmas baby, which holds a special place in my heart because my husband is a Christmas baby too. And I actually texted my husband. I was like, hey, did you know Jimmy Buffett was born on Christmas too? And he didn't. So fun fact. Anyway, after attending and graduating college, he moved to New Orleans and routinely did street performances along Bourbon Street. That was pretty short-lived though, because the next year he ended up moving to Nashville, Tennessee. And that is really when his music career started. Like so many, his first attempt at, you know, some songs and records flopped, but he kept going and ultimately hit it big first in 1974 with his first entry into the top 100 with the song Come Monday. Then in 1977, his song Margaritaville really put Jimmy Buffett on the map. And today, that remains Jimmy's most popular song. And it's played all the time everywhere, right? And not to mention the song, but there are Margaritaville themed restaurants and cruises and casinos and bars and video games. By the way, did you also know there's Margaritaville themed retirement communities? One's in Daytona Beach. It's called Latitude Margaritaville. And there are a couple newer communities in Hilton Head, South Carolina, and Panama City Beach, Florida. So needless to say, his song Margaritaville turned into way more than just a song. While many know of Jimmy from his music, did you also know he was an author too? He actually wrote adult fiction and nonfiction books, and three made their way to the New York Times bestseller list. He also wrote a couple children's books as well, and I think one, if I remember correctly, he co-wrote with his daughter. He was also quite charitably inclined. He co-founded an organization called Save the Manatee Club. He volunteered his time and talents by playing for U.S. troops and for, you know, hurricane relief concerts to bring awareness and encourage monetary donations. And also like disaster relief, he monetarily contributed to a number of organizations. So now personally speaking, Jimmy was first married to a lady named, I'm going to butcher it, Margie Wasacek in 1969. Their marriage lasted a few years. They divorced in 1972. Soon after the divorce, Jimmy met his eventual second wife, Jane, I'm also going to butcher it, Slogsville. At the time, Jane was actually a college student at the University of South Carolina, and they met while she was on spring break in Key West. They ended up getting married in 1977. Together, Jimmy and Jane had three children, two daughters and one son. Specifically, they were named Savannah as the oldest, Sarah, and Cameron. So Savannah was born in 1979. Sarah was born in 1992, and they adopted Cameron in 1994. And if you're wondering kind of why the delay between Savannah and the other two, Sarah and Cameron, well, according to his Wikipedia page, they actually briefly split. I'm talking about Jimmy and Jane. They briefly split in the 1980s, not divorced, just kind of a, you know, split. But they ended up reconciling in the early 1990s, which is when Sarah and Cameron ended up joining the family. And Jimmy and Jane remained married and together until Jimmy passed away. In the spring of 2023, in May specifically, Jimmy announced he had to reschedule some tour dates because he had been hospitalized to, quote, address some issues that needed immediate attention. Things were pretty quiet until late August 2023, when it was shared that Jimmy had entered hospice care at his home, and on September 1st, 2023, Jimmy passed away at the age of 76. Now, it was eventually shared that his death was due to, quote, complications from Merkel cell carcinoma, which is a rare and aggressive skin cancer. He had been diagnosed with it 4 years prior to his death, though, according to his Wikipedia page, he kept his diagnosis private and even continued to do his tour while he was being actively treated. After his death, it is no surprise that a businessman like Jimmy would have an estate plan. Honestly, since his passing in September, I've been keeping an eye out for things relating to his estate for this podcast specifically. As time passed and there were really no headlines about his estate, I just figured he had an estate plan. It's just kind of the classic phrase, no news is good news in my little estate world when you deal with celebrities, estate planning. And this exact thing, if you're a faithful Legal Tea listener, I did an episode on Betty White, happened in Betty White's case. I remember when she passed, and whether it's good or bad, I often think of this podcast shortly after learning about a, you know, mega celebrity's passing. I kept an eye on Betty White's estate as well, and there really wasn't anything major in the headlines after her death either, which turns out she had a solid estate plan too. If you care to go back and listen, if you haven't checked it out, it's episode 41, so you'll just have to scroll down for a bit. So, back to Jimmy. I intentionally started digging for some articles and discovered there sure is not a ton out there. But I will review what is out there. So, according to a New York Times article, Jimmy had some type of trust, whether it was revocable, irrevocable, charitable, not sure. I'm just not sure. But he had some type of trust as part of his estate plan. It's called the James W. Buffett 1990 Trust. As the name suggests, Jimmy created his trust plan in 1990. And as part of that trust plan, he had also created a last will and testament, which was, according to the New York Times article, created in 2017. So it sounds like, if I'm kind of piecing things together, he did some estate work in 1990 and 2017 as well, which is really common. Estate planning is usually not a one-time thing. So on this last will and testament, it is commonly and informally referred to in my world as what is called a pour-over will. Its purpose is twofold. Like, a pour-over will's purpose is twofold. First, it's to grab any assets that are held outside of the trust and get them, quote, poured into the trust. And second, the pour-over will, it's really just to have something to get filed with the probate court office in the event there are assets getting poured over into the trust. With a pour-over will, the beneficiary of the will is actually the trust, and that keeps things really private too, because it does not release, like, who the beneficiaries of the trust are. So in the court filings, there must have been some things in Jimmy's estate that were held outside of the trust, because his pour-over will got filed, but it does not contain who the beneficiaries of the trust are, nor the value of any of the trust-held assets. So that's why, as the New York Times article states, quote, in keeping with Florida law, the will, talking about Jimmy's will, filed last month in Palm Beach County, Florida, does not contain a public inventory of his assets, nor does it reveal any of the holdings of the James W. Buffett 1990 Trust. The article further shares that Jane, his wife, was designated as the one in charge of Jimmy's estate, so no surprise there. Now, when we talk about what is supposedly in Jimmy's estate, Evans Legacy Law Group, which is a law firm in Illinois, they did a blog on Jimmy's estate, and they shared that the following likely include that Jimmy's estate likely includes the following, among many other things that are probably not expressly noted in this list. So they say Jimmy's estate likely includes the following: music royalties of $20 million annually, music royalties that is, a collection of houses and cars, 150 Margaritaville restaurants, casinos, cruises, and related business holdings, a yacht, several planes, and by the way, he had his pilot's license too. I don't know if you knew that, but he did. Also, stock market investments, including shares in Berkshire Hathaway, and watches and plenty of memorabilia, end quote. So the blog further shares that Jimmy was, quote, receiving close to $200 million annually for his shares in Margaritaville Holdings, LLC. And it seems that issues with his health and medical expenses did not affect his business or family legacy, end quote. So that tells me that a lot of the, casinos and restaurants and bars and all of that stuff is probably held in the Margaritaville Holdings, LLC, that is supposedly spinning out around $200 million annually. So what are the big takeaways from Jimmy's estate planning? First, the biggest takeaway is privacy. I searched and searched and searched for more information about Jimmy's estate plan details, specifically in like who's getting what, and there's like no information out there. We could, try to assume things like, Jane is getting some or all, his kids getting some, etc. But that would merely be assuming. And I try not to do that here on Legal Tea. That is the beautiful thing about doing an estate plan and doing a thorough estate plan. Things can remain private so long as you put the time, money, and energy into good planning. We should have all known that Jimmy Buffett, a heck of a businessman, would not have let us down with some bad planning. We should have known Jimmy would have done solid estate planning, right? I often hear from my own clients and prospective clients, Jenny, do we need a trust? Do we have enough assets for a trust? And I always answer the same way. First, trust, I know we're talking about Jimmy Buffett here, but trusts are not just for the wealthy. I help a lot of clients get trusts in place, and honestly, most of my clients are just kind of everyday average net worth people. And instead of how much in assets, I always focus on the goal. And it really depends on what someone is trying to accomplish. So for example, are you just trying to get the bare minimum done right now just to get something in place? Maybe a trust is not needed. Are you trying to avoid probate? Are you trying to provide a specific distribution pattern, like based on age for beneficiaries? Are you trying to gain asset protection? If any of those are a yes, maybe a trust does make sense. The thing you have to know is it's just very goal dependent rather than asset dependent. The other big takeaway from Jimmy's estate is that Jimmy accomplished the level of privacy by utilizing a living trust. That's what the James W. Buffett 1990 Trust was, a living trust. So the big takeaway with this piece is that with a trust, you not only have to have the trust prepared and signed, but there's also a process that happens after you sign the document called funding. Now, the funding of a trust means you are proactively getting assets into the name of your trust, as in the trust will own the asset, or at least make the trust the beneficiary. The funding process is what puts the bow on the top. Without the trust funding, that trust is a pile of paper. That document is a pile of paper. So if you have a trust or if you want a trust, be sure to get the thing funded. Any solid estate planning attorney can help with that, I promise. Alrighty, I think we're ready to wrap this episode up. Next week, we are back to a cautionary tale type of episode where we talk about real life clients, real life cases that I or my office have worked on. Next week, we are going to be talking about a client that prior to my office's involvement with their estate plan, they were probably a little too trusting with their former professionals in their life. And if it's not that, they were just like, if they were just not a bit too trusting, that's not the reason, then they just made a massive mistake on their part and the professionals made a massive mistake. And at this point, they're in operation cleanup, which is costing time, money, and energy. It's kind of hard to explain, kind of like a quick synopsis. So just tune in for that next week, my friends. And until then, take care and be well.